Last week we had a look at the heart of faith, and the heart of faith was a heart that had a quality about it, a heart that bowed in humility, in total humility and meekness before the majesty of God, a heart that is not proud or restlessly yearning. We looked at a heart that can be broken, a heart that God can burden, impose upon, God can bring invitation upon. The third was a heart that believes. We looked at Hebrews 11:6, which talked about a heart but without faith, it's impossible to believe God or please God. For he who comes, or she who comes to God, must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is a heart that trusts, that makes decisions according to God's will. And so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to then to move on to the power of faith. Let's, if you've got your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 8, if you just want to hold that chapter, and we'll come back and have a look at that. But I just want to tell you some stories before we move into this space, this time. Many of you probably don't know or do know, but let me tell you that when Tim was born, Giselle and I's son, he was born with a floating stomach. In other words, the stomach was not connected to the esophagus, and it wasn't connected to the small intestine. And for many years after his birth, he had to be fed through a peg in his small intestine. And when he was old enough, the surgeons at the Royal Children's Hospital performed some groundbreaking surgery, some pioneering surgery, in fact, to connect both his stomach and his esophagus back together, both the esophagus to the stomach and to the top part and the small part of the intestines to the bottom part. And while the surgery was technically successful, Tim now had a functioning gastric system, which he never had before. There were side effects because they had to break and move some of his ribs around so that they could adjust the stomach and stretch the esophagus and the small intestine to make things fit. And so Tim's stomach didn't fit right in his body cavity, so they had to move it in such a crazy way to make it fit. And so for some crazy reason, his stomach then produced more acids and bile, than it should have. All of which has to exit the body sometime. And normally it exited the body by projectile vomit. And so secondhand bedding and secondhand mattresses were always on high demand in our house. And so high acid and bile production can happen in really aged people, in older people. And so the doctors put him on that same medication that they would put on older people who were in their twilight years. And so the medication had some limited success, but Tim was still disabled by this condition. In 2005, Giselle and I were invited to go on a mission trip to Kenya. But what about Tim? Do we take him? Africa is a rough place, even for able-bodied people. But right about that same time, we saw an advert in a local paper. A pastor from Nigeria had come into our neighbourhood and was preaching in one of the big neighbourhood churches. And it said that he had the gift of miracles and he was holding meetings within our neighbourhood. So the long story short is that we took Tim along to the Nigerian pastor's meetings. And he was so respectful, he was so understanding, and so he laid his hands on Tim's stomach and asked Jesus to heal him. Since that night in 2005, Tim has never had a problem with his stomach, and he is off the medication, and he got to go to Kenya. So we're in Kenya now, and we got to Kenya. And as I come to the host church where we were going on our mission, I see the flyer that they were advertising for the church services that I'm preaching in. And it said, Evangelist Neil Taylor from Australia, Miracle Healer. And after that quote, That heading, they quoted a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says, "And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and then gifts of healing, of helps, guidance, and different kinds of tongues." Okay, the scripture's there. I had no excuse. But there's this pressure. Like, I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to pull this off? They've advertised me as an evangelist miracle healer. But then I thought, the scripture's true. The scripture's true in that what they put on the flyer. God has placed such these things in the church. The pastor from Nigeria prayed and God healed Tim proved to me that was a fact. So after my message, I invited people who were sick and injured to come to the front of the church for prayer. And it seemed like the whole building left their seats and came to the front to be prayed for. So I started to pray for one lady whose body was aching all over. She said to me that her body was aching all over. Every joint and tendon had excruciating pain through it. She said it was ripping through her body. Pain was literally ripping through her body as she moved. And I could see while she was standing there that it was a massive stress on her body. She was in such pain. And when I got closer to her, I saw that the tear marks that had run down the dusty cheeks of her face, you could see. And there was another lady that was standing beside her who had had an emergency Caesar section to save her baby some years earlier. And the midwife, because it was an emergency Caesar section, the midwife had literally just cut her quickly and deeply with limited anesthetic and basically just blanket stitched her back up again when the baby was extracted from her body. And she is now, some years later, in agony and pain that just gets worse. And she said when it rains, it actually is excruciating and unbearable. So I pray for this lady with the pain in her joints first. I just lay my hands on her and started praying for her. And immediately, this lady was healed. And she starts to bend down and she starts to jump around and she does a little lap around the building. And she starts waving her arms about to show there's no pain. And right then there was this spark of spiritual electricity that had flooded through these people who had come up to be prayed for. And suddenly the lady who had the drastic and dramatic Caesar section, she's pressing her body like this. I could see her. And she says, "I'm healed, I'm healed." And it just moved from person to person. And it was just an amazing thing to see the faces of people and the countenances of people lift, and there was just shrieks of delight as people turned around to their friends and family and said, "I'm healed, I'm healed." There was no funny business, there was no barking or laughing or anything, it was just a move of God. So this has stirred me to the fact that how powerful it is if we would simply believe God. Simply believe God. Those people who come for me to pray for them, they just simply believed I was an evangelist miracle healer from Australia. I didn't. They did. Sometimes in your life, if it hasn't already happened, it will happen. You're just going to have to believe God. Because within your natural mind, you don't have the answers. You don't have the ability. You don't have the strength. You can assemble all the faculties and the resources that are in your life, and you will have some, and you will still come up empty-handed. Whether that be overcoming an assault of sickness or overcoming demonic, sometimes you're just going to have to believe God. And I know that sounds very simple. And if you have been saved for a long time, it probably can sound quite annoying too. Nevertheless, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He or she who comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's in Hebrews 11:6. Now you can sit beside somebody, whether that's in the world or in the church, and that person may not have the intellect that you have. You may sit beside somebody and they may not have the skills in life that you have. They may not have the education that you have. They might not even have the spiritual knowledge that you have. But you will see a person with faith and you will see you will be amazed by how they will advance. They will be able to speak and testify about the miraculous of God. They will be able to walk in deliverance. God will do things in their life that He will never do for you if you choose unbelief. We talked last week about the choice of faith and the choice of unbelief. It's still a choice. So I want to challenge you tonight with a very simple message that encourages you not to forget the power of faith tonight. So let's have a look in Matthew chapter 8. Let's start in verse 5. Now then, Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he was marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so it will be done for you." And his servant was healed that very hour. Remember, life without faith is just a lie. So let's first have a look at overcoming reason. The Apostle Paul declares that we all must fight the good fight of faith. He declares that, understanding that if you're going to believe God, then you will have a fight on your hands. Okay? If you're going to believe God, you're going to have a fight on your hands. Christianity is not a bed of roses. Everything in this world speaks of cynicism. It speaks of negativity, and it's critical. Even our own flesh fights against us, people around us in society. And if you're going to step into a supernatural dimension with God, you're going to have a fight on your hands. We cannot escape this. But the big question is, if you are stepping into the supernatural, if you will step into that dimension with God. Adding to that, you will never be and you will never do what God is calling you to be and do without faith. There will be demands and strategies and demonic attacks. There will be divisions and temptations. All these things at work, and somewhere life and God Himself will demand that you believe. And that faith has the ability to carry you through to another dimension, into your future with God. It's supernatural. Faith is beyond anything and everything you have ever learned in your life. Faith is the intelligence of the kingdom of God, the intelligence of the heart of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." In other words, if you are going to believe God, you're going to have to win the battle over your mind, or simply what's between your ears, your own reason. Think about it. The Bible is not reasonable. If you want a dialogue with someone who is an unbeliever or someone who's trying to discredit the Word of God, you can't reasonably speak about the Bible, because you will find that the Bible is beyond reason. It's not reasonable to walk on water. It's not reasonable that Peter's shadow can heal sick people. Tell that to your doctor next time you visit him, that there was so much of God in you that you can literally walk by and your shadow has so much of God in it that sick people, some with cancer, AIDS, tuberculosis, whatever, are healed by the power of God in your shadow. Let's think about Peter. He's a man who is not perfect. Now, that's very encouraging for some of us who are sitting here tonight. He's a man who's not perfect, yet here is a man that had such a dimension of God in his life that his shadow was filled with a supernatural quality that could transform people's lives. That's not reasonable. That's beyond mentality. That's faith tonight. Think about the lame man at the temple gate, beautiful. It says he was lame from birth and he's begging. You can read about that in Acts chapter 3. The scripture says that this man saw Peter and John going to the temple and he began to cry out for money, began to beg for money. And the words that came out of Peter's mouth were, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Here's a man who's lame from birth. The Bible says that they brought him daily and lay him there at the gate to beg. And yet, a few words from the mouth of Peter electrify this man's life and revolutionize him. Do you know that you have that ability too? If we're going to change our generation, if we're going to change our community, we must have words that go beyond theology. A word that is beyond the normal conversation about Christian life. If we're going to transform our neighborhood, if we're going to transform our city, our words must be filled with this dynamic that snares the hearts of men and women that have been spiritually lame from birth. Words can be so filled with God's power that you can say, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." Can you imagine the life transformation that this man after Peter, what happened to this man after Peter spoke to him? Everyone knew this bloke. He was the lame bloke who sat by the beautiful gate or the gate beautiful. There are people in your life that they are just like this lame guy. People may not be physically lame, but that is how you or others know them. They are known by their disease. They are known by their sin disease. You know, "Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's into porno, isn't he? Yeah, that's the guy. Oh yeah, her. Yeah, she's the one that goes to all the over 28 nightclubs and goes to bed with a different bloke every weekend. Yeah, that's the girl." We know people by their sin disease, don't we? Or their weakness, or their negative part. And I'm talking about people that society have written off. They have put them in a box and told them that this is your existence, that you're going to be on welfare for the rest of your life, you're never going to achieve anything, or you're addicted, or you're on drugs, or the list goes on and on and on. Can you imagine that a word, maybe your words, can literally be so filled of God that they are able to break away a person's entire existence? Their pattern of living, their behavior, years and years of emotional bondage. One word spoken by faith. In the story of the lame man, a few words from Peter electrified his existence. So much so that something had sparked in his soul and he said, "I don't have to be like this anymore. I can change. I can rise up. I can do what I have never done before." And that's the power of faith tonight, the power of faith spoken, that you can speak to people's lives. Not so long back, I was invited to a business meal, and I was sitting next to a lady named Elise. Elise's a professional woman, two kids, loves her husband. But when I spoke with her, she talked in a really sad way. That she didn't feel there was any hope, there was no purpose, there was no reason. She said that she was just born to die. There is nothing to this life than just to procreate the species. And she wasn't being facetious or smart, that's how she felt. By the end of the meal, I had three other people listening in on the conversation. While there was no dramatic conversion in that meal we had, there was a conviction of the Holy Spirit that came over Elise, and she asked me to mail her some reading material about the Gospels and about Jesus, and it was a great opportunity. And so why did I step out Why did I step out when I saw that opportunity? Because I know what it was like to be bound in sin before I came to Jesus. I remember what it was like to feel no hope when I was before I came to Jesus. I know what it was like to feel no purpose and no reason for existence. I know what that felt like. And as a word spoken can change a person's life forever, it's not natural and it's not reasonable. It's the power of faith tonight. Jesus can pray over a little boy's lunch and then can feed a multitude. We read these stories, but do we actually apply them? We can pray over things in our house. We can pray over the material world, and 2 + 2 doesn't always have to equal 4. There's a dimension of faith that goes beyond budgets tonight. The scripture says that Jesus prayed over this boy's lunch and he broke it, gave thanks, and it multiplied. Now what I'm saying is that the material and the natural world, by a prayer of faith, has to surrender to the spiritual. That's not reasonable tonight, and you will have to fight through that sometimes from between your own ears. But faith does not operate in your mind, it operates in your spirit tonight. And I'm amazed that the trust that we put in people that we don't even know. Now, I get on an aeroplane, and from time to time I get on aeroplanes, and I don't say, hey, I'm not getting on this aeroplane until I meet the pilot. I want to see his credentials. We don't do that, do we? We just walk on the plane. We walk onto that sausage tube and we travel at speeds of 900 kilometers per hour at 37 feet in the air, and we don't even ask who the pilot is, right? That's pretty insane when you think about it. And I've seen some of these pilots. I get to the checkouts early sometimes, and most of them are grossly overweight and have a limp, all right? So think about that for a moment, and yet we won't trust God. You won't believe God's creative power and step out into another dimension. Now, sometimes that's when you think of it in that realm, it's a bit bizarre. So remember, life without faith is a lie, or just a lie. Number 2, overcoming sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is the immediate. Your eyes register immediately. When you see something, it is the immediate conclusion. It's like a photograph. It goes, it's the immediate conclusion. The Bible says faith is not what you see. You may be looking at your immediate circumstances. Faith is beyond your immediate circumstances. You may be looking at your immediate pain, your immediate problem, your lack of whatever. Faith is beyond that. When you live by sight, it seems so real. But faith is beyond what you see. It's called surreal. Your eyes are the most powerful witness within the human body. There is no more powerful witness tonight than in a court of law than an eyewitness. In a court of law, if you have an eyewitness, it carries tremendous weight. Jesus talked about the eye and how powerful it is. Matthew 6:23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. There is an old saying, if you are always watching the idiot box, you'll be an idiot. What we watch and allow to pass through our eyes is critical to our thoughts, to our thinking, to our actions, to our decisions. Everything is being influenced, whether we realize it or not, by what we see. But Jesus says faith is beyond that. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. The question needs to be asked, how do you live? What kind of faith do you have? Consider the story of Peter walking on water, Matthew 4:14-27-30. You can read that when you get home. Until he looked at the waves, the scripture says, he took his eyes off Jesus and put them on that which he had the ability, that had the ability to cause him to sink. And he did sink because he took his eyes off Jesus. In the Old Testament, There's a great story about Elisha and the enemy, the Syrian army, who had come to take Elisha. So several thousand men, armed men, military men, had rocked up to seize Elisha. And you can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 6. And they're going to take him, and they're going to take his servant Gehazi. Now, Gehazi is always having problems in this area. He's like a disciple of the flesh. He cannot see. He doesn't have the faith to see beyond. And Gehazi goes out one morning and comes back terrified. He sees that army that's just encamped outside the camp where they are. And he's freaking out, and he runs to Elijah, and he says, "We're dead meat. We're going to be slaughtered or captured and then slaughtered." And Elijah makes this powerful statement in verse 17 of that text. And he says, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant Gehazi, and it said that on the mountains all around was filled with angels of the Lord. The army of the Lord was protecting them. So can you see? The point I'm saying is, can you see what God is doing in your life? One of the greatest weapons of the enemy is that he will try and only get you to see what's happening now. What's happening now? My stuff, my just desserts. What's happening now? When God has not done what God has not done yet, he's just, the enemy will try and get you to see that. What you have not been, and so what you have not brought under dominion yet, the things that are not right now, the things that have not been done yet, what you have not got victory over yet. The enemy will keep you focused on that and keep you from seeing what God is doing. Here's Gehazi. He's at Elisha's elbow virtually. He's that close to him. He's seen a man, we talked at this last week, he's seen a man called Naaman healed. And he has seen an axe head float in the river. How many have ever seen an axe head float? They just go straight to the bottom of the river, don't they? And yet he cannot see what God's doing. All he sees is the enemy, what the enemy's doing. And if you're going to move in the power of faith, you'll need to open your eyes and see as God sees. Can you see what God is doing in your life? Or can you only see the problems that are still there? While you overlook the possibilities of God. Jesus looked at Matthew, and Matthew was a hated tax collector. But what did Jesus see? He saw a disciple. Jesus looks at Peter, this rough, foul-mouthed fisherman, and he sees an apostle. What do you see? Can you see yourself? If you are going to have faith and experience the power of faith, you're going to have to see like God sees. Like the souls of men and women who don't know God, things that are eternal, the spiritual. You're going to have to see these things. That's what Moses saw. That's what set Moses free. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 25 to 26, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to that reward, or to the reward. In other words, he looked to him. He looked to the eternal. And right there, looking to the eternal, that's what set him free tonight. We have to look beyond the sight of flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Can you see the possibilities of God in your life? That's looking beyond your impairment, looking beyond the moment now. What do you see your future in God to be? While in Kenya, a young man interpreted for me while I was preaching at various services, and his name was Edwin. And Edwin's around about 22 to 23 years old. And I'm preaching, and here is this young man by my side, and he's just absolutely going for it in Kiswahili. Kiswahili is the language that's spoken in East Africa. And so he's a handsome young man who comes from a slum in a town called Eldoret in Kenya. And I'm watching Edwin, and he's preaching my words in Kiswahili, and he's really going for it. He's preaching better than I am, and he's preaching my words, and he's really going for it. And so I'm thinking to myself, in between the gaps, I'm thinking to myself, God, give me 100 Edwins, give me 100 Edwins, and we could just take the world for Jesus. Before the service and after the service, this young man asked me a million questions about preaching. He asked me a million questions about the things of God. Everything that came off his tongue was about God, about ministry, about destiny, about purpose, how to work with people, how to handle this, how to handle that. There was no limit to this man's life if Jesus tarries. Edwin will be an awesome man of God. But what about you? If you are going to have faith, are you going to see beyond sight tonight? Are you going to live beyond the rational tonight? So let's have a look finally and thirdly at overcoming feelings. The story of Thomas, we heard the report, Jesus is risen from the dead. And Thomas says in these words in John 20:25, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And Jesus rebukes him later when he confronts him by thrusting his hand into the wound and saying, and we've skipped down a verse or two now in John 20:29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet and have, or blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. There will be feelings of fear. There will be feelings of unbelief. There will be feelings of doubt. There will be feelings of depression. Can you imagine this centurion in our text? You have to ask yourself, why did Jesus... This man wasn't a Jew tonight. Why did he say that this man had such great faith? It would be the same reason that he would say it to you. This centurion makes that familiar statement, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. This is something you don't hear preached very often. You will never have faith tonight unless you're under authority. That's why cynical, negative, critical people never have this sort of faith. They can have all kinds of religiosity, but they will never have this dimension of faith, because faith is that dimension, and that portion that passes down to those who submit themselves to God's order and God's kingdom authority. This man says, I am a man under authority, that I have those who are under my authority, and a word spoken is all I need. We need to be under God's design, God's purpose, and under his authority. The power of faith is transmitted through this conduit tonight. So a word spoken is all you need. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Faith is simply taking God at his word. That may be a personal word tonight. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Some people can never resist the devil because they will never submit to God. This man is going on to see a miracle for his manservant. But it is totally linked, the miracle is totally linked to how he positions his heart in submission to God. That has to do with the will of God for your life. That has to do with what God is speaking to you. If you have ears to hear what he has to say. It is impossible to have godly faith and be unsubmitted to the plan and purpose that God has for your life. Because faith is a spiritual dimension. John 4:24 says, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said, this is great faith. And the thing that makes it so great is simply believing. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Just say the word, Jesus. Just say the word. Then Jesus says to this centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. At that very moment when Jesus spoke the word, this man's servant, who was as much dead, lived. It was just a simple word from God, whether out of the Bible, whether preached, whether a word spoken, whether a word whispered into your spirit. And you lay a hold of that. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Old things pass away in your old lifestyle. Bitterness, abuse, violation, betrayals, words spoken against you. One word from God tonight, and you can be changed. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus, so just like this manservant who's dying, one word, and he is healed and free. You can believe that in the personal things, can you believe that in the personal things about your life that God will do things for you? Because faith is personal tonight. What is it in your life tonight that is almost dead? And the only thing that is going to resurrect it is that you're going to have to believe in God. There will be times in your life that the only thing that you will change your situation is that you're going to have to believe in God. You can wrestle with it. You can set your will against it. And all these things have merit and they do have their place. But we're talking about the supernatural and the surreal. Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I encourage you to read Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter. But read the Gospels first before you come next week for Peter. But I encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And it talks about through faith and by faith they conquered. Walls fell down. The dead were raised. Seas parted. And the list goes on and on. It's a great chapter. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. But what about your life? What are you believing God for? Faith is that God-inspired quality based on his word tonight. Wherever God finds this faith, you will find the miraculous. Because a life without faith is just a lie tonight. So let's review before we close in prayer. Number one, we have to overcome reason. Overcoming reason. There's nothing reasonable about following Jesus. There's nothing reasonable about the power of faith. While being religious can be reasonable because religion is just for Sundays and I can live my life any way I please the other 6 days of the week. We have to overcome reason. Number two, overcoming sight. We have been called to live by faith and not by sight tonight. Sight is sensual. It is looking for good. And it's looking for good and it's looking for good things and looking to feel good things. And it's sensual. It's what the world preaches tonight. We follow Jesus, who is beyond the sensual. We are called to know God, not by feeling God. God's people are called to live by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith means living a life in the light of eternal consequences. Walking by faith requires that we tune our hearts to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Number three, overcoming feelings. Feelings will lie to you tonight. They will lie to you. Feelings are subjective. Feelings can be sensual. We need to be under God's design, God's purpose, God's authority. The power of faith is transmitted through that conduit tonight. A word spoken tonight is all that we need. So let's pray. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would help us to see, Lord, that the power of faith tonight is in your hands, that we need to just simply step out and believe you in our life. We need to trust you with our future. We need to trust you with our very substance, Lord. Just like the birds of the air and the lily of the field, they don't want for anything you provide. And so, God, we have to get to a point where we don't lean on our own understanding. We don't lean on our material wealth or our place under the sun, that we lean on you and your futurity, what you have for us. We trust that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name tonight. Amen.